Athena Harrell joins Mystical Sisterhood today for this enlightening interview. We dive into what accessing the zero point field means, the importance of spiritual science, and how what we consider the truth may not be just one thing, but in fact a spiral of many truths that exist across time and space. Athena is an intuitive and healer who is extremely passionate about sharing what she has learned and works hard at distilling a lifetime of spiritual information and techniques into digestible, relevant, and exciting courses that she teaches to healers and burgeoning healers of all ages, backgrounds, and skill levels. She is strongly committed to the truth that all humans, capital A-L-L humans, have the innate ability to commune and receive guidance from Source, the divine ascended masters, angelics, and enlightened souls. In turn, each human also possesses the innate ability to heal themselves and others. All that is required to pursue this healing path is love and faith in things not yet remembered. She also offers a guided meditation into the zero point field for you to access information that is your birthright, which will be offered in a meditation addendum to this podcast. Thanks for being here. Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation. Welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood. This is your host, Maureen Spielman. And today I'm with Athena Harrell. And I'm just so excited for this conversation. I'm going to read a little bit about Athena's bio before I introduce her. I always give a shout out to the introduction that was made, and it was by Alicia Isaacs Howes back in October. And I love it because it was an invitation to a meditation on 10:10 at 10:10 a.m. And I almost missed it because I was tending to something with my younger son. And Athena popped in my mailbox and said, "Hey, are you coming or not?" And that really changed the trajectory of the coming months and my ability to get to know you, Athena, and work with you. Here's a little bio. Athena has been studying and practicing alternative healing techniques for 15 years. A gifted, intuitive, and passionate healer, Athena left her job in 2023 as a corporate executive to provide healing services full-time. I love that. Her modalities include Matrix Energetics, Rohan Energetic Psychotherapy, Healing Touch, Craniosacral Therapy, Clinical Hypnotherapy, Past Life Regression, and a very brand new modality she is currently curating with her spirit team, which operates in the quantum field. Athena calls upon divine guidance during her healing work and infuses intuitive wisdom and understanding into each session and modality. Additionally, I'd say that your area of interest I want to share include the origin of the cosmos, the history of life itself, and ancient languages. And you're currently working on a channel text centered on the history of the multiverse to be released in the spring summer of 2025, just around the corner. We'll let you know where you can contact Athena in the show notes and at the end of the program. But I first want to welcome you, Athena. That's me talking a lot, but welcome to Mystical Sisterhood. I'm excited to have you.
Oh, so excited to be here. Very excited. I've loved the other podcast and learned a lot from them. So hopefully I can share a little bit of what I've been able to pick up over the years.
Yeah, and I love the connections being made too, because I think as I was getting to know you in the fall and at the beginning of this year, Alicia had reached out to recommend Nicola Farmer for the podcast. And so I was able to interview her. So I think that's a great, I always like to say, like, go listen to that particular episode because you two are very close friends. And I'm always just really taken by connections that are being made and some that already existed and just how they seem to be expanding very exponentially at this time.
That's why this kind of podcast is so important. We need that mystical sisterhood, feminine energy sisterhood, because we're on this journey together. And every now and again, it's nice to be able to run ideas past your sisters who are also getting similar downloads and recognize that this is the truth with the capital T.
Yes. Yes. I love that. Can you say a moment about, and then we'll mention the meditation, but at the end, and we've talked about this, but Nicola had mentioned that if you were on a path of exploring the types of things we're talking here about, mystical sisterhood, your own intuitive gifts, how you are here to be supporting others through these gifts and expanding the this work being done. How do you feel about this particular time we're at and the importance of this?
Yeah, we're absolutely at a critical time. Whether you're an intuitive that is along this path or maybe following a different trajectory, one thing is certain that everyone understands, even people, even the secular people, even people who aren't necessarily in the spiritual science community or New Thought community, there is this sense that there is something very big going on, and there is. And we have entered the age of Aquarius, right? Just like that 70 song, but it has been spoken about since it has been understood by the ancients because astrology was science to them. And frankly, I believe it's science. There, it's a very complicated study, and it really is a binary log of the moment you enter the 3D plane. And I think people think it's magic. None of this is magic. We are just don't have the full comprehension of the science behind what actually occurs, but that's the moment we're in. And part of that moment is the dismantling, which can be very scary for a lot of folks. And especially it's not just the US politics that are affected, but global politics, migration and movement of peoples, the ending of institutional systems, all those things can be very taxing on any human. But in the midst of all that is also the ascension. The positive is the light prevails. And yes, our goal as healers is to mitigate suffering. But in this moment, we are experiencing things like this wonderful podcast and new modalities being created every day and understanding things like the telepathy tapes that these, you know, authentic autistic children are really, there is an innate, intelligent, superior consciousness in that body, trapped in that body, and it's coming out. All of these things, the Stanford, Harvard, Yale, Princeton doing studies in consciousness, all of this points to a bigger picture of the human experience. And yes, that is why this moment is so critical. And again, I think everyone can feel it, whether they subscribe to our belief system, you know, yours, my Maureen, or not, but that is my personal way of describing it. But I think a lot of healers would describe it in that way.
Yeah, I love that. It feels so much grander and wider as to what's possible here than just picking up a newspaper or turning on a station that's going to tell me one thing. I love just that idea that these things can all coexist and none of them have to be wrong to the point that we deny them. I want to say a moment, just if you're listening into the beginning of the podcast, because there's all sorts of people that listen and then they drop off. But one thing that Athena really wanted to offer to the listeners today was a meditation. But Athena, I want you to describe for the listener what this meditation is that you feel is really important and critical to share.
Sure. When you're working and you dedicate your life as much as physically possible to working with what we like to call the divine, and what does that mean? It means higher consciousness who are here for the greatest and highest good of humanity and the multiverse, everyone and everything that has ever existed. When we think of the divine, a lot of people think of it as mystical, flowy beings that somehow are only angelic or only achieve sainthood, but it's really people, entities, higher consciousness that are here to assist us with our own evolution of humanity. And part of that assistance is the reason people come up with new modalities is because they are here for the greatest and highest good, and they are trying to give humanity as many tools as possible at the right moment in time. An example of this might be a lot of people have heard of the Course in Miracles. That was a channel text by Helen Schuchman. She was an atheist. She was Jewish by heritage, an atheist, and a psychologist by degree, and Christ appeared before her and said, write this down. Okay. Things like this are happening all day long, every day. And the only thing I would correct in general about healers is that what I've come to realize over the last year is all the ability I have and the ability you have and the ability, honestly, anyone I've ever met to be intuitive is not a gift. It is an inalienable right of being human. We would never say, oh, it is a gift to be able to sing a note. We would say that someone is super talented if they had this perfect pitch, right? So when you think of it as like some people come in born I like to use the analogy of Michael Jordan or Spud Webb. Michael Jordan had some natural ability in the sense that he was super tall. He was born very athletic. Spud Webb was a little shorter, not quite as athletic, but both had to practice their asses off, right? So that is how it is in terms of this this thing we call intuitive ability. I read something this morning, and I'm sure people who do the work and also even do the work in the secular community with counseling, we know that depression is in the past. Depression is what happens when you think about the past too much. Anxiety is what happens when you think about the future too much. And joy, supposedly, is in the present moment. I would disagree with that. I would say that there is no thing but the present moment. And we're just starting to learn that. So when you think of someone being an intuitive, the reason I bring this up is that when you're thinking of quantum time, and this is the segue into this meditation, when you're thinking of quantum time means time space. It is a physical moment in space time. So what does that mean for someone who is a practicing intuitive, right? It means that you are not confined your consciousness to the 3D reality that you're experiencing. You're able to see way into the past and way into the future. And not because it's a separate thing. We think that the past is a real thing and the future is a real thing, but in reality, it's all happening at the same moment. So all we are doing is flexing that muscle as an intuitive to be able to really experience the present moment, but in every way it can be experienced in that 360 experience. So when we think of time travel, the reason it actually is possible is because there's no such thing, because time is a construct, just like height, width, girth, all those are constructs in a 3D reality. If we were in a 2D reality, if we were in flatland, we couldn't experience 3D. That's what's happening with this intuitive ability, but we're at a moment. There have always been intuitives. Einstein himself said that all of his notions came from visions he was given. Tesla actually saw them in the room. There are articles where Tesla was giving interviews saying, no, I literally saw it in the room. I saw the invention in front of me. Wow. And again, we think of them as special. They just allowed their consciousness and they weren't to go where it needed to go and not be afraid of it. So when it comes to this meditation, it's not really a meditation in the traditional sense of calming your breath and all that. It is more about an invitation to teach people how to get to a place in the zero point field. And that is the place where there's no space time. There is the all that is, and it is your direct access to all the information that has ever been and ever will be, because there's no past and there's no future. It's also the place where you do all your creation. So if someone's a writer, someone's an artist, if someone is a musician, all those things get channeled, right, from this zero point field. So as we go through, I'd like to share with the audience how I'm going to go about presenting it to you, but also how I came about it. So you understand the process, because every single one of your listeners has the ability to do what I do, to do what you do, every single one. And we need everyone, as many people as possible, to begin to practice having access to this additional 360 information, this quantum information. It's their right. And the more people that gain access to it, the more people that understand the quantum reality, the more they will look down and see Earth and understand the pain and suffering needs to be mitigated. The kinder you will be, the more expansive you will be, the more joyful you will be. There are lots of physical, practical reasons why to do this. And in addition, if you are a burgeoning healer or someone who does healing work, let me just say that a lot of healers have gotten to other dimensions and we've been doing it for a long, long time. This is a shortcut. Okay. So how it happened was I was watching a program on Gaia, and it was this gentleman who, and forgive me, I don't remember his name, but it was a gentleman who does sacred geometry, and he's very much like your seventh grade, you know, science teacher. He's up there, and it's a lot. I passed on this information to a lot of my friends, but it's a lot to get through each episode, but it's just packed full of great stuff. But you're definitely back in seventh grade science class. But my guides really wanted me to watch this episode, and they said, no, this part. And then they had me write it down. They said, stop, pause the TV, write this section down. I'm like, okay. And they said, okay, now come into the field in my normal method that I used to use, and we have other things to tell you. And so I did that, and they told me the second part of this, and then they said, now get up and write it down. That's literally how it got cobbled together, because it's taking too long. When people think of the number one complaint people have about meditation when they come to me is, I can't quiet my mind. And then you've got other healers who say, oh, you're just too much in your head. Neither of those things are true. Okay. Neither of those things are true. And there are healers that operate more from the heart space. There are healers that operate more from the head space. But in truth, what you're trying to operate from are both hemispheres of the brain, and your right side of your brain is your heart. They are connected. And your left eye side is, of course, your practical self. But both hemispheres have to be connected. All the synapses have to be firing and for you to truly enter that 0 point field. And so by saying to someone, just clear your mind of thoughts, like that, the first thing they're going to be like thought, right? Like, so this is a way to direct the energy to activate this place called the cave of Brahman, which is a lot of healers are taught about the pineal gland. Some are taught about the hippocampus. Some are taught about the thalamus. Some are taught about everyone's got their thing. Oh, it's the heart space, whatever. But think of the cave of Brahman is all encompassing, and it is a physical area in the center of the brain. And we can certainly add a diagram later on if that's something that people want. But, you know, if you think about it, it's the pituitary, it's the thalamus, it's the hypothalamus, it's the pineal, and it sits right in the center of your brain. So what we're doing in this activation is we are literally pushing light through different cross sections of your brain, creating a cruciform, or a row cross, the Christ cross. And when it lights it up, imagine it's like putting electricity to a Christmas tree. Okay. So it's just giving you that boost. This is the same thing that we are using when we do binaural tones, or we use specific meditation music or certain breathing techniques. All of those things are trying to achieve the same thing that this is going to achieve in 3 minutes or less. Okay. And then once I go through and I take your listeners through that process of moving light from the first place we're going to start is above the left ear, moving to the right ear, then we're going to be right where your third eye is, because somewhere between your eyebrow and shooting up through the back of your head, making a cross form. Then we're going to go above the top of the head, down. It really doesn't matter where you start. I think I actually may start at the top of the head, or often do. And then there's one last place that's critical. And I'm going to tell your readers how to get there, but for today's purposes, just think of it as the unicorn horn at your widow's feet. And that's the last cross section that's going to go in and activate it. When you activate that unicorn horn, which is basically right at your widow's peak, it literally is the fire that really jumpstarts the whole thing. After we've done that, we're going to go down. We're going to connect that cave of Brahman in the center of your brain into your heart. And your heart also has a cave of Brahman, and it's called a Hridaya. And it's a Sanskrit word. If anyone wants to look it up, I didn't know that word. My guides gave it to me. And sure enough, that's the actual word. It's called a Hridaya. And it's literally that. So many of your listeners know that the heart has as much cerebral matter as your brain does, at least 40,000 cells of it, according to Greg Braden and Bruce Lipton and those folks. But we're going to connect those two spots. And then we're going to give your listener a choice about which door they're going to go through. And to be honest, it does not matter. For this intensive purposes, they're just going to, whatever they feel most comfortable going, and then that's going to lead them into the field. Once they're into the field, there'll be a bit more instruction. And then they will be there to be able to chat with their guides, get information. Maybe they work in the science field and they're struggling with a problem. Maybe they're trying to make a personal decision in their life. It doesn't matter what the information is. Nothing is off limits in the field. I will tell you that as you work with this, and I encourage you to do this as you start your day, you don't need to be in a meditative state, sitting in your special meditation chair to be able to do this. If you want to be connected into the field, you can be walking, talking, living your 3D life and still activate that cave of Brahman. That is the state that we're trying to get to full time. But as you had mentioned, I 100% agree that, you know, if you're driving, you know, when you don't want to be driving necessarily when you're doing this until you've been practiced. The last thing I'll say about it is you will be able to speed up. You'll be able to understand that when you go to do it next time and next time and next time, you'll be like, bam, 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 bam. And those lights will hit like a switchboard. And then you won't even need to go through the door. You'll just be like, and you'll be in the field. The more you do it, the easier it gets. And you'll be amazed at how much guidance that you get in the middle of your day.
Amazing.
For simple things. You're already receiving guidance. Everyone is. But this is just, it's clearing off the cobwebs of the ham radio, tuning that frequency, and really getting there.
And is that what you then call intuition?
Yes. Ultimately, there are a lot of people who talk about being clairvoyant, seeing things, or clairaudient. But what we're really trying to get to, and I know there are a lot of people out there like, I really want to be able to see, but what you really want to be able to do is know is the thing. So this gives you the knowing. So if you go in the field and I give you instruction to be able to see the green grass or visualize the green grass or observe the green grass, know that you don't have to see it. You just have to know that the grass is there. Or if you're only clairaudient and you can't see or know anything, if you hear, if you get a knowing, if your hearing alerts you to the sound of the green grass, and it does have a sound, right? Color has a sound. Yeah. That you do you. Like, we're just trying to get you to focus on a point in the horizon.
Yeah.
So again, this isn't magic. It's just the technique. There are other people downloading similar techniques because there are 8.5 billion of us.
Yeah.
And hopefully the people I've spoken to and your audience and anyone else that I'm able to teach this to, that I encourage you, once you've learned it, share this, teach it. It's not mine to hold on to. And if you're another healer that also got a similar modality and had a better, quicker technique, by all means, share it. Okay. And super excited about this.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like my whole life, I considered my body as this thing that was just carrying me through life. But what I seem to be hearing is that, no, wait a minute, this body vessel, all the organs, everything within it they're part of our genius. And so, like with the Cave of Brahman, what makes both in the head and the heart, like I've often heard that our heart is the first to develop and the first organ to develop in utero. I don't know if that's accurate. What is it about these two places that allow for the connection?
They're the largest portals, and every single organ has a portal. In fact, I think as we learn about when you're doing energy, any kind of energy work, like healing touch or something like that, you're learning about the cathartic template, the etheric template, the astral plane, all of these things. These are just layers of energy, right? Think about, these are just like literally like black hole portals in the space time.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. The heart and the brain, but really exist everywhere, all over your body, and you don't even need to access. But in this 3D reality, because, you know, anyone who thinks we've ascended, we have not ascended. If we have not ascended, we are trying to ascend. We are going to fifth dimensional ascension.
Yeah.
But Gaia herself, the planet Earth, is holding space for us in the fourth. So in order for us to access, because I think the misunderstanding is, just because you can access the higher planes of dimension doesn't mean you're in it. Like, you and I sitting here are still in 3D, right?
Yeah.
So in the design, in our divine design plan, there had to be access points.
Okay.
Otherwise, how would we ascend?
That's amazing. Yeah. And can you say a moment just about, because I'm always hearing about 3D and 5D. What is 4D?
So 4D is that thing called time, that space-time dimension. And one of the ways that we notice this, and I'm sure that your listeners will be like, oh yeah, like time has been really weird, right? The last like year, or and maybe longer, but certainly the last year, like last 2024, it was like, I'll call a friend and they'll be like, what day is it? Oh my gosh, we're in the new year. We're in the new presidency for 1 month. It feels like a year. We are in this week. I literally thought it was, I was like, oh my goodness, it's Monday. And I literally was like, wait, which Monday is it? And those kinds of time slips are happening to everyone, everybody. And that's because Gaia is in the fourth dimension. And so time, again, is a construct. So it's moving in a different way than it was before. It really is speeding up. Mm-hmm. And I know that seems odd for perhaps some of your listeners, but it's the truth of what's happening. And in fact, there is some scientific basis to this in the sense of the expansion and the contraction of the universe, but it would take too long to explain on this episode. But just know that there is some understanding of that in the science community.
Okay. Yeah. And I have so many questions just about your sharing that some of them are pretty direct. But when you refer to the Cave of Brahman, both in the head and the heart, as the access point for the zero point field, what's meant exactly by, or generally by, zero point field?
Great. That's a great question. So the zero point field is a quantum physics term, not coined by me. We want to go back to if anyone remembers the double slit experiment in high school that they had to learn. Basically, the zero point field is the quote space in between what we think of as reality. So every electron of your body, my body, the computer, the tree, the air, every electron is exactly the same. That is what the oneness is. And those electrons form the basis for reality. What the double slit experiment did was realize what when you're observing those electrons, they actually change their movement. So the observer affects it. And we also know that there's this thing called quantum entanglement, which says that if you split an electron and you move them 7 miles apart and you do one thing to one electron, the other electron responds the same way. That's how we are as humans. And in this quantum field, think of it as a grid. Again, not magic, not a magic field. It feels like magic, but it's not. Think of it like a grid that's the huge spider web of all existence. And when you tap or when you move or when you move energy with your thought in that field, you are literally affecting, it's the butterfly effect, right? Yeah. You're like, if a butterfly flaps its wings in the Himalayas and whatever creates a hurricane in Norfolk, Virginia, whatever. There is something to that in the sense that's why the Jungian collective consciousness is a real thing. Whether you're looking at, you know, rhesus monkeys who on one island learn how to wash the potato and then instantaneously on another island not connected, the same monkey learns it. That is that quantum field. So when you're in the field, you're connected to everything. That's why you have access to the information. It's not like a big library. It's more like an internet, but without the need for a search engine. If you think it, it appears in the field. Mm-hmm. That's how when they talk about the power of manifesting and I tend to think of it as like shock jocks who talk about, oh, we're going to manifest all this money in your life. Yeah. Money is energy like anything. And if your Maslow's hierarchy of needs are not met and you're in that field, you're like, I need the needs met. Mm-hmm. And then the needs are met. What you think does attract to you in the field in that way. The field isn't determining whether your request is moral or immoral or good or not good. Right. The field is not passing judgment on your request. And that's why I think there's a moment. And maybe that's why all throughout humanity, not everyone all the time up until this point was able to access this field. The field is very powerful, okay? Mm-hmm. But it's necessary. And you just have to trust that everyone who's listening to this, who wants to go into the field, is going to do so for the greatest and highest good of all concerned.
Right. Yes. Yes. Love it. This is such a perfect explanation. I'd love to be inside your brain.
Thinking, some days, maybe.
Do you see everything as the field? Do you feel like after the years of work, like seriously, is that the, you know, you're just constantly seeing the intertwined entanglement, such an interesting word, but just the weaving and how this all fits together?
That no one's asked me that, but I'm gonna tell you the truth. They gave it to me, my guides did in baby steps because I think they didn't want my head to explode. I'm joking. But I think we all have our preconceived belief systems on what life is with the capital L. They don't want to come in with a wrecking ball. The people that are coming to you to listen to your podcast are already on the journey of wanting this information. I trust that the divine is going to bring people on the path of this awareness in their time, just like it was in my time. Do I wish that I had not been so afraid? Because let's face it, I think I could have come up with this 20 years ago, but I think my fear based on my old belief systems about, I don't know, heaven and hell and good and bad and whatever that was, kept me from expanding to where I am today. But you also have to trust that you're doing the best you can. And now it's open. And yes, when they first showed me the first thing, you know, I was in IT for 30 years. And the first thing they showed me was a network, like a physical network with like routers and servers. And they showed me, I know how the back end of the internet works because I did it for a living, right? Yeah. And they showed me that. And they said, you are a node on the network. That was the initial, like, let's get her thinking in this way. And then I was shown the spider web one night. And I was like, is that what it really is? And they said, it really is. You know, so little baby steps to the door until they were like, okay, now, today, like, no, you know, time's a wasting, sister. And so,
yes, absolutely.
And so, yeah, I think that the people who are listening to this right now are ready for it. Otherwise, they wouldn't be listening.
Absolutely. Do you think too, like in terms of when we go into the meditative, to the zero point field, to maybe be freely open to just be open to whatever is coming through. Let's say it's just a broad, you're opening it up broadly, or you have a specific question. Like, is it also that we, by our guides, by our team, that we're getting ideas all the time? I think you alluded something to that. So it occurs in both ways. My listeners have heard me say it before, but like Mystical Sisterhood, like I didn't know what the heck that was. And it came to me as Mystical Sisters first. And I, then that was taken or something. And then I just created this, but like, where does that idea come from? It is, I feel like it is downloaded. And I've said to some guests that have been on here, do you feel like you channel that information? And they say, what the heck are you talking about? But I do believe that when things are just coming so clearly through someone, it's just so clear.
100%.
How could it be otherwise?
100%. And yeah. I'll give a secular example. I have a dear friend who loved her. And when I started on this journey, she was the person I would go to all the time. She was a devout Catholic and I trusted her with my life. Like her compass always pointed true north. And she worked for a radio station and she got us in to see, oh my goodness, gentleman with the two, he had the same names, like not Jack Johnson, but one of those artists. And he was just him and his Catoose guitar playing for 20 people at this radio station, like locally. And I'm standing there and it's like maybe year one and a half on the journey. And I look over at the artist, Philip Phillips. So I look over at the artist and she has an autistic son, high functioning Asperger's, but very symptomatically autistic. And she was shocked that he wanted to come. And he was standing, and he was maybe like 11 or 12 at the time. And he's standing there and he's watching Philip Phillips. And Philip Phillips has got his eyes closed and he's playing. And I look over and all of a sudden, like I started to cry and I hit my friend. I said, can you see what I'm seeing? And not only was her son in this space that like normally sound like that he would just never tolerate it. I'm not sure what was going on with him, but I saw a big gold beam of light shooting out of that child's head. When I looked over, I also saw it coming out of Philip Phillips' head. I know that both of them were connected to the field. And as wow. I said in the beginning, like music is the great connector. It is the vibratory connector between the field and us. Wow. And so everyone is doing it all the time. When you feel joy, you're doing it. When you touch your baby's face, when you hug your grandma, when you plant a garden, all those moments where you're connecting to life and life forms are the field. It's just, this is a concentrated way to get there for a specific purpose.
Love it. That's a beautiful story. You mentioned teachers like Greg Braden and Bruce Lipton, but I heard you say for the first time recently that you like to call this growing body of knowledge spiritual science. And I hadn't heard that before. Will you say more about that?
When I started out, I was a pretty religious person. I'm Greek. I was Greek Orthodox. And if anyone on here knows anything about Greek Orthodoxy, specifically Greek Orthodoxy, it's like you are religious because that's you're born that way. And there's no questioning. Jesus is, the saints are, angels are. But in that, it restricted me a lot in terms of what I felt I was could read or know or and all of those things. Well, what was safe was quantum physics was safe. I've been playing around and studying quantum physics and like reading, having the eclectic works of Einstein and Tesla from the jump. But as I realized that no God was going to strike me dead for reading esoteric material, I realized that the ancients did not differentiate between science and spirituality. And Greg Braden said it. Bruce Lipton said it. A number of people, a lot more learned than I, have made the connection. That is where we have to get to. The reason that we are in this period of great dismantling is because people see religion as faith. Religion is not faith. Religion is a ritualistic practice to get your body to a high enough vibration. And we've forgotten that. Whether it's incense in the Catholic and Orthodox Church or dancing to worship music in an evangelical church or Quakers shaking, whatever it is, the goal of religion is to get the human into a state of altered consciousness to be able to experience the divine. We've lost a bit of that, right? Mm-hmm. We don't want to bash religion. We don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Yeah. That's just the nature of how it is.
Right.
But in truth, if you look back at the ancient text, it would have been ludicrous for them to assume that whatever God of their belief at that moment and science were separate. Plato, Aristotle, Pliny the Elder, it doesn't matter who it is. They all, you know, I told my Sunday school kids this years ago when I still taught. I used to ask them, they were fifth and sixth grade. I'm like, okay, so the Christ child is going to be born. And there are people from Iran. That's where the Orient is. It's Iran, right? I said, they don't have Jesus. They don't even have Muhammad. Like, they are these people. They have some book that tells them that this Christ child is going to be born, this King of Kings. They traveled 2 years to get there. What? How do you think they knew? And the children had this blank stare. And I was hoping, really, if I was being honest, I was hoping one of the children would have some great, amazing bit of wisdom for me. But the reality is, it's because that knowledge was always there. Wow. That knowledge was always there. And they, again, did not think it was separate. And it was so accepted. It was so real to them. The king murdered all the firstborn babies. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So we think of the ancients as being stupid, ridiculous. They had the same IQs we did. They had the same Maslow's hierarchy of needs we did. Okay. They are living the same trials, struggles, tribulations that modern day humans are living. The difference is that we have access to the information, and it is insanity to not access their information and bring it forward. We think of truth as a linear line. Truth is not a linear line. Truth are layers. It's layers of truth. It doesn't mean that the original truth that you knew, if you grew up and you're like, oh, I think angels are real. Of course, that's an original truth. But if you would experience an angelic, you're like, oh, they're much, much bigger and have a much bigger role than I thought. Oh, they were created by who? Oh, this is what they do. Okay. It doesn't mean that the original truth that, you know, angels have wings and float around in the sky was a wrong truth. You're just experiencing expanded truth as you learn and you grow.
So would you say, I'm thinking, I have a lot of thoughts going on, but as far as truth goes, would you say a definition is that which is of the light? How would you describe truth?
I think truth and light are synonymous. I don't think there are versions. I think there are concentric layers.
Okay.
Like I just said, when they took pity on me not to cause fear, if you think about, and it's not just Christianity does this, but we'll just use this as an example.
Yeah.
Over and over and again in the ancient text, the biblical text, the apocryphal text, and even in the New Testament, over and over again, it doesn't matter what divine being is meeting up with anyone. It could be Mary and Gabriel with the Annunciation. It could be Noah and God according to Noah. It could be Moses going up the mountain. In each case, they said, do not be afraid.
Okay.
So fear is not of the light. Fear is not truth. If you are afraid, they're only going to give you the amount of truth that you can manage at that moment, because the divine will never cause fear. Mm-hmm. And if you are afraid, don't do it. It's okay. Yeah. It's all right. Tune in next week and maybe you won't be afraid next week.
Yeah.
And so if something is causing you fear and you're trembling, that is not of the light and you're not ready for that truth, or that's not the truth.
Yeah. Wow. I've learned through you. And I think I had told you that years ago, or not year, that many years ago, but even just like one or two or three, I started to see Greg Braden talk a lot about these ancient texts. And I had only read his Spontaneous Healing of Belief many years ago and things like that. And then I thought to myself, because I was brought up Catholic and probably in my 20s was like, okay, I just didn't have the bandwidth for it. So like when I started to see him, I was still like really living in this 3D world of like, well, why is he studying these things and what is the importance? And I feel like for me, it's unlayered, where I'm like, oh, okay. Because those ancient texts, they contained much truth. They were teachings, yes, and they were honorable and they were here for humanity. I think that's a really neat thing that's happening now. And I'll have to say, if she listens to this, I won't name her, but a good friend of mine had a dream a couple of years ago, and she dreamt about Hag Hammadi. What is that?
The Nag Hammadi.
Nag Hammadi. I had it backwards. And she woke up and she told us about it. And we thought that was so fascinating, because with those ancient texts, she had never, ever heard about these. And then they appeared in her dream. But again, ancient texts. I had an astrologer tell me, go back and read these ancient works. And I love what you're saying about that. So anyone that's listening too, it's if you have these kind of intuitive hits come to you, just get curious about them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I can't say enough good things about the Nag Hammadi Library. And what I would suggest, and you know this, Maureen, I have a huge list of what I call suggested reading,
yeah,
and suggested authors. And of course, Greg Braden and Bruce Lipton are on there. And I would say, me personally, I don't know that I've ever heard or read anything that Greg Braden has put down that I didn't agree with at a very visceral level. But what I would say to every single person listening, it is critical that every time you hear something and you're like, huh, ask yourself, is it true? Okay. Go into your own guidance. No one is above you. No one is below you. Everyone's the same. Go into your guidance. Does this ring true? And I'm going to give you an example. There's a lot of talk about the Pleiades, however you want to pronounce it. I think both are equally acceptable pronunciations of the Pleiades. And Barbara Marchinak wrote a great book about it. And I found it to be a very fascinating book. And my guides said, yes, go ahead and read it. So I'm reading it. And Barbara had downloaded this work. And she's since crossed. Barbara is no longer with us. But there is a group that is the Barbara Marchinak book and her the material that she downloaded. As I'm reading it, I'm asking, is this true? Is this true? Yes, that's true. But sometimes they would say, not exactly. And I would say, okay, what does that mean? And one of the things that I got out of it was everyone has an agenda. And don't you know, towards the end of that book, the guide that is channeling this to Barbara says, everyone has an agenda, meaning on the other side as well, like a lot of channel text, you know, and I really think this is critical so that everyone becomes a critical thinker. And part of a critical thinker is going back to this ancient text, you know, learning for yourself. Really asking, does this feel true to me? I don't care if you have to muscle test it. I don't care if you go into the field and ask, but somehow have some level of discernment over what you're being told. Because again, with the layers of truth, we're still in 3D, whether it's me or you or the greatest intuitives in the world. And we are still only downloading a portion, a piece. The truth is so vast, our human brains couldn't comprehend it.
Wow.
So I'm not suggesting any nefarious intention on the part of the someone who's channeling, but make sure that as you're studying, the reason you can feel safe in it is because you're going to feel safe in your own ability to discern. And you can say, oh, that doesn't ring true for me. Okay. Maybe next year it will ring true for you, but it's okay that it doesn't ring true today. And reject it. Just reject the thought, reject the idea, reject the notion. If you read it and you're unsure about it, just keep asking, keep going back to it. There might be something there for you. Mm-hmm. I think that we forget that. I think we talk about everyone who's channeled anybody. If someone were in the future channeling a human, whether they got Maureen or they got Athena, that's a whole different conversation. Doesn't mean they're bad. Doesn't mean they're not truthful, but they're not the same experience.
Yeah, it's a great question. And I'm thinking about how when I read something that's really resonant, I'm so, like you say, like supercharged by it, like plugging in that into a light socket. And so I take that as guidance for myself of this is true to you. But I was going to ask a question about vibration. Mm. And during the ascension process and our awakening processes, moving into this higher vibration state, can you just say a bit about that for our listeners? Because I think that's something like high vibe or this, or, you know, again, they become words in the vernacular, but what does it mean? And does it tend to be a natural process as we seek and access and expand into more of who we became to be?
100%. And they're so overused. I think a lot of people maybe don't 100% know what they are, but I think we have a general idea, and I'd rather have them overused and in the lexicon of the average human on the planet than not be in the lexicon at all. But just as we circling back to what we were talking about, we'll just use the Quakers or the Shakers. When they stood, they literally quaked. They literally shook their bodies. And when you shake your body, it is literally creating a vortex, and you are moving it. And when you're shaking, and that's true when you're dancing, that's what conscious dance is about. And you could just be out in the club. You could be out in the club and you could be listening to some great, as my daughter called them, booty popping tunes. It doesn't matter what music it is. And you're moving, your vibration is raising. And all we think of it is years ago, let's say it's 1950. We're like, oh, I feel so good. I feel so good when I dance. Dancing makes me happy. Okay. But the same can be said for a child who loves to color for hours on end, or someone who likes to read poetry. And that feeling that you get when you read something that is beautiful and true, that raises your vibration.
Lovely.
Listen, food makes us feels comforting, but food is actually, there's nothing about food that raises your vibration, but food can change your vibration. Case in point, if you, for example, are very emotional, super emotional on a particular day, and you're not sure why, you will end up finding yourself wearing orange, or wear orange to assist that, you know, there's a reason that there are colors and the vibration, there is a vibration to every single color and why they're associated with the different chakras. But notice that in order to be fully whole, every single color on our color spectrum has to be spinning and activated. The higher vibration you go, the color, there is no color. It's every color. It's all colors, colors that we haven't even dreamt of. Wow. So yes, there is this idea of vibration. We know it. We think of it as being like down, yeah. You know, but one little interesting tidbit of that, that we get wrong in our lexicon. Like when people smoke marijuana and they'll say they're high, they're actually not high. They're actually grounded. It is actually like from Gaia, which mm-hmm. Gaia is her own vibration and it is a lower vibration. So I would say that people love to say we need to be more grounded. I would say that anyone out there that's listening to your podcast, if they are a starseed, please don't ground anymore. Every time you walk, every time you eat, every time you have to get on your computer, you're already grounding. You don't need to be any more grounded than you already are.
Okay.
If you literally are floating out in the ethers all day long every day, okay, maybe you need to be grounded. But generally, certainly not starseeds, okay. Need to be grounded.
Lovely. I love that. I think we've covered so many things, Athena, and then we'll get into the meditation. But I have been asking guests recently at the end of the interview portion, if there's anything that's coming through you right now, coming to you, that you feel is a nice way to complete here and you feel is an essential message for the audience.
I'm going to not use there's a word that people like to use, and I'm not going to use it here because I think when we say this word, we assume that we don't assume the outcome. So I'm not going to use the word hope because hope is filled with doubt. Just know, do not despair, and know that no matter what you're personally going through or what the microcosm is or the macrocosm, as above, so below, as within, so without, as of all the things, that the light really does prevail. And I know that we're going through a challenging moment. If you consider yourself a light worker or you're thinking about being on the path of being a light worker, just know that it is so needed and so necessary. And don't think, what am I going to do? You're going to do something. There are 8.5 billion people on the planet. You know, whatever your path is, it's going to help. So get out there and do it. It doesn't have to be my path. It doesn't have to be your path. It could be writing children's books about light-filled things. It could be painting. It doesn't matter what it is. But if you're called, if you feel called to do it, this is me saying to you out there, wake up, get involved, do it, get up off your feet. The divine is supporting you. Now is the moment. Everyone is needed.
Love it. Beautiful invitation. And one that's collectively, I think, as we hear these messages again and again, people are starting to wake up. I was reading a book by Elizabeth Gilbert yesterday. I flew and I went into the bookstore and I picked up Big Magic and I had never read it before, but she says some of these things in different ways that we all have this creativity. We all have this resourcefulness we have. And I love the part of it that was talking because I've heard before that we will be given ideas. And if I hadn't formed a Mystical Sisterhood, someone down the road would have.
100%.
So I just, that was a newer concept that started coming in a few years ago for me. And she talks about that. And she has a great example of a book that she was meant to write. And she sat down with another writer and the writer says, this is what I'm going to write. And it was almost verbatim, the shell of it, the structure was exactly the same. And they looked at each other in absolute disbelief and they had never met before. And they had not surely exchanged ideas yet. And the divine gave it like two people, because sometimes we might not know the person that ends up with the idea, but I thought that
100%. Cool. That's a great, it's a great, because that is entirely true. And people who download modalities, like the one that I'm currently curating, I know that there are other people who are curating a similar, if not the exact same. And it is, that's why it can't be a competition. It's got to be co-opetition, because the end goal is not for, you know, Athena Marine to be world famous. And it's for us as light workers to touch as many humans as possible with the work to assist as many in the ascension.
Beautiful. Thank you, Athena, for all these great, like really newer concepts here for the podcast and for the listeners. And you're right. If you're listening, there's a reason. Pay attention, no matter your age. This is here for you. So we'll see you in the next episode. And thanks, Athena. It was great.
Thank you. This has been such a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. and be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my one-on-one coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.